All right. Hey, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is July 31st, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you were at. Looks like it is the last day of the month, the last day of July. So goodbye, July. End August. Last month of the summer, sort of, right? At least last month, I think the kids will be home, free from school. But, you know, July was amazing. A little hot, a little toasty, a little humid, but we definitely got through it. And, yeah, super grateful. Love summer, love summer, love summer. And hope everyone's having a great summer, by the way. So, yeah, it is, what's today, Wednesday. Just got back, just got home. Went paddling this morning. Had not done that in a while. Been having some mental battle in my head, and I gave in to the dark side, because actually I gave in to the light side, not the dark side. The dark side was keeping me out of the boat. And yeah, great morning, great to be back in the boat. Love, you know, there's a reason I love paddling. It is just it's a spiritual experience for me, man, being out in the ocean with a group of guys, all trying to, guys and women, today it was just guys, but definitely have mixed boats sometimes. So whether it's guys and women or just the men, like it was today, it was just really great. A group of people all, you know, shooting for the same thing, which is get over there or wherever it is we're going. And you know, I love most about paddling is just the different situations that come up or arise up in the paddling, whether it's wind, current, weather, you know, all these different things. They can really decide, you know, we leave the dock with zero expectations, and, you know, you never know what you're going to find out there. And but today it was just freaking beautiful, overcast, felt like it was going to start raining at any point. Just a beautiful, beautiful day. And yeah, I apologize to myself for trying to talk myself out of paddling. At one point last week, I thought maybe I wasn't going to paddle anymore, which is really sad. You know, what I find is one of my problems, I need to lighten the fuck up. I need to chill out, right? I am at the tip of the mountain, right? And I'm running around and making trouble for myself. And this happens. It's happened before. I've talked about it before. And this is just one of those moments where, you know, I just need to relax. I need to chill. I need to find some humility. I need to mind my own, right? Mind my own business. Keep my nose pointed in the right direction. And when I do these things, my life is better. And, but you know, sometimes I have to go through these things, you know, and I do think it was great to take a little break. I sort of had lost my appreciation and love. And sometimes when I take a step back and regroup, and, it allows me to take another look at it, you know, in a different light, which, you know, is important. Whether it's paddling, right, or recovery, or relationships, or business, right, it happens, for at least for me, in all of these categories, right? I can get too wound up on work. I can get too wound up in relationship. I can get too wound up in the house and the kids. And sometimes I have to just take a step back, right, and realize, man, just how freaking blessed I am to have what I have. And everything that I have today is only because I have chosen to be sober.
Sometimes late, when things are real and people share the gift of gab between themselves. Perfect prize that waits among the shells. But Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. And cause never was the reason for the evening or the Tropic of Sir Galahad. So please believe in me when I there was a reason for the evening. Oh, the Tropic of Sir Galahad. So please believe in me when I say I'm spinning round, 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 round. Smoke glass stained by colors.
America. Tin Man, what a great song. I love that, man. Oz never gave nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have, right? One of the cool things about recovery for me, when I came into this program, I was like so deficient, right? I had nothing. Obviously, missing a lot of physical things, right? A lot of the great things that come to most people that choose to refrain from becoming or living the lifestyle that I chose to live. And so, you know, a nice house, a nice family, a nice car, whatever it is that we get through, obviously, a good education and a nice career and, you know, some discipline, right, and some honesty. And when I came into this program, I really had nothing, right? I had a bunch of tweaker shit that I dragged from a fucking California over to Delaware, and I had a bunch of broken down furniture, but I really, you know, my life was almost, it was starting fresh in Delaware and ready to go down farther, right? They always say you can ride that elevator down and then you can get off and start digging, right? It can always get worse. And that's the path I was on. I'd broken free from that drug I was doing out in California and the alcohol and all of the other shit, you know, but that the one big thing, the big drug I left behind, you know, I was hoping that my life would have a new start. I remember talking to my dad. I was going to get a job. I was going to work for my uncle. I was going to work at the grill. I had this whole plan. And unfortunately, my dark side missed the memo, right? And so when I got to Delaware, I just dove into the vodka, and my life just got even worse. And but when I came in, you know, obviously the first time through a physical altercation and just started getting better. But, you know, and then drinking, and then over time getting back into the program and working the steps with a different perspective. And I started to realize that all of the things that I thought I was getting, I already had, right? I already had my, I talk about my friend Libby, who's, you know, Godspeed Libby. She's on the next journey, but she said, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience that involves alcohol. And, you know, for a long time coming into the program and working the steps, I kept searching for the spiritual awakening, right? And I don't know if I talked about this the other day in the other podcast I did, but I went to the meeting on Monday. My buddy Jimmy K came, and, you know, him and I, he's got 35, 36, 38 years. I don't know. I think he's got 34 years. I don't know. Don't disrespect Jimmy K. He's got a shitload of time, and he showed up, and he spoke, right? And one of the issues that I seem to be focusing on lately is that it's hard for people to talk about doing the 12-step if they've never really reached it. And I only say that because I've reached the 12-step earlier in my sober career and didn't know what the fuck was going on. So none of my business, right? These are the things that I've been making my business and that are none of my business. But, you know, my buddy Jimmy came and spoke on the 12-step, which was awesome. And, you know, he shared, like, at this point in his career, being sober, you know, he finds it tough to get to meetings, right? He goes to one Zoom meeting, and he even knows, right? I know I need to be here. So it was great for him to be there. I shared it to him. I said, you know, you were a spiritual awakening to me. When I came into the program, I had all the friends I had were bums, right? They were all bums. And I remember becoming friends with him, and he's a doctor, you know, he's a doctor of English, right? He's not an MD, but whatever, I'm proud of him, right? And I just remember I'm friends with a doctor, and that was so awesome, right? Because I didn't hang out with anybody like that prior to that. But yeah, so coming in and over time, right? And I've said, you know, I've had this spiritual awakening, and the best way to explain it for me is, you know, and I've said this before, the Corvette, right? Giving somebody a car and then putting the keys inside a garage and filling the garage with boxes and shutting the door. And on every box is a character defect, right? A fear, some selfish-centered part of us that through these steps I had to work on, right? And like I shared at the meeting the other night, you know, the 12th step is great. It's the 6th and 7th step. It's those character defects and shortcomings that keep me out of it, right? And I just think, and that's the epiphany I had a few weeks ago, a month ago, right? It's these little, the micro cheating, right? These little things that keep me sick. And, you know, I hear it in, you know, with a lot of people with sarcasm. Sarcasm is always a big one. But what I found is that, you know, once I start to remove these boxes, right, you know, whether it's, you know, sarcasm, you know, not making my bed, all of the little things, being honest, right, not lying, stealing, cheating, right, all the big ones are, of course, in there. Immediately, you open the big garage door and there's, you know, a wall of boxes. And, of course, the big ones are stop lying, stop cheating, stop stealing, right? Stop doing those big things, stop drinking, right? Drinking is probably that big box that carries all of our clothes, right? That holds the long clothes in, the obvious ones, right? But it's the little ones, and we start to chisel away a path to those keys, right? To the so I can drive that sweet Corvette. And, you know, we build the, you know, we start to get the path, right? And we finally get close, and maybe we can reach the keys, but it's the wall of boxes on each side of the path that, you know, of course, for me, aren't always the ones most important, because early recovery, I just want to get to the keys. I don't care what happens when I get there. I'm just so, you know, hungry for this, whatever it is, right? I got to get there. So I, you know, of course, I stop drinking, and of course, I stop lying, and I stop stealing, right? Or I think I do. And finally, we start to get a little glimpse, right? But there's those canyon of boxes. And so that's what I've been spending the last 16 years working on, the boxes to the right and left. And that's where we find those in the 6th and 7th step. And, you know, today my garage is pretty clean, right? I may have a box here. It reminds me a lot of when we moved, right? When we moved from our old house to this new house. Of course, I'm going to move everything on my own or, you know, with the family. But the first idea was, let's take all of our shit that we're moving and put it all in the garage, right? And obviously the day came to move and we had people come over and we moved everything over and we got most of the stuff right out of the garage. But I had to keep going back over to that house for like a week, picking up more boxes, right? Just the last little things that I don't want, right? Most of them was going to the dump, right? But it's those last little things. But those last little things kept me, I won't say sick, but kept me having to split my attention, right? I was focused on our new house and getting that thing ready, but I just couldn't quite leave the old house behind because I still had those boxes. And but when it's all said and done, right, we have a spiritual awakening. I'm the guy that believes that we always have a spirit, right? I believe we're spiritual beings, right? I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. And so it's not like working these steps gave me spirit. It's not like I did a step and then spirit came from somewhere and entered me. I'm always spiritual. I've always had a spirit. But when I started to remove the boxes of fear, and then I could start to find this place of peace, right? For so long, I really thought that you just got a spiritual being. I've said this before, a little spiritual buddy pops out of the floor and never happened, right? My relationship that I have with God today, God does not talk to me. He talks to me through my soul, my spirit, my gut, right? My insides. I know, you know, I think today if you've been working, if you've had some recovery, right, and you've been working these steps and, you know, whether it's just the first step, right, you know, if you're, I remember, you know, I don't really remember. I remember, see, when I quit, I just didn't drink anymore. I was the guy that didn't, you know, come to meetings drunk. But I know that people are holding on, right? They'll get a few, you know, 15 days and, you know, you start to feel better, right? But then if you have that drink, you know, there isn't a voice that's like, hey, dipshit, you shouldn't have drank. You feel it, right? Obviously, you feel shame and guilt. At that point, you're probably carrying around a whole lot of boxes, right? But you don't hear a voice, right? You have a feeling. You have heart sickness, right? You're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I've done this. And you know that you're going to let everybody down and all that stuff. And so, but we feel it, right? And that's what it's become to me. God does not speak to me, God speaks in me, right? This feeling, this spiritual feeling, and it's worse than a voice, right? Because at least the voice shuts up. But when I do bad things today, and when I say bad, like sarcasm, leaving the shopping cart, you know, all the little things, you know, not picking up after myself, all those stupid, you know, one of the this is silly, but you know, the new house, we have a glass shower. It's just a shower with the glass wall, right? The glass door. It's not too fancy. It is what it is. But when my parents built their house down where they live, my mom put in these glass shower doors. And I remember she's like, "If Tommy, if you're going to take a shower, you need to squeegee the glass." And I'm like, "For what?" Right? Well, it'll prevent water spots. And I'm like, "Oh, okay." Right. And so I remember taking a shower at their house and I had to squeegee this. My mom had this squeegee hanging on a hook inside the shower. And I'd squeeze, you know, squeegee the most. "Did you squeegee the shower doors, Tommy?" I said, "Yes, Mom, I did." And so today we have a glass shower door and I got a squeegee. Because my mom said, if you don't, it'll have water spots on the glass. So every time I take a shower, every time anybody takes a shower, all the bathrooms have squeegees in them, right? Sometimes I don't squeegee it, right? And I'm like, I feel it. I'm like, there's no voice that's like, "Tom, you should squeegee the glass," right? It's no reminiscent of my mom, "Tommy, I told you, you need to squeegee the glass." It's this feeling, and it has nothing to do with the glass or the squeegee or the water. It's something, it's doing the next right thing, right? It's doing what I'm supposed to do, right? It's a lot of work to be normal. And so there are days like today, like, you know, usually when I take a shower, not that it's a big deal, but usually I take a shower in the evenings. I usually take a shower in the morning before work. And sometimes I'll have to take a shower like I just did. I just took a shower today because I just got back from paddling. And it feels weird to squeegee in the middle of the day, right? But I'm like, I got to do it because if I don't, I will feel it, right? It will, so it's just, you know, the spiritual awakening is what happened is really, I'm just able to hear my God speak through me and my, you know, my chest and stomach and, because it's not blocked by a bunch of fearful garbage. And that's what's going on. The other thing is I just need to, like I said, I need to chill out. I've been tortured lately, and I just need to remember, you know, I don't want to drink alcohol. I want to be the best person I can be for my friends and family, and I want to be there for the next alcoholic. I just got to keep it really freaking simple, right? You know, when I hear different people, you know, this whole spiritual awakening, this whole, you know, God thing, this, you know, because then I'm like, how does God speak through me? And, you know, because I read, oh, God spoke through me. And I'm like, how does God speak through me? Right? And I think that happens just in our behavior, right? People see it. People recognize it. But yeah, I just need to chill the fuck out and keep it basic. Get back to basics. You know, my only job is just to be, you know, don't drink, be there for the next alcoholic. And I just need to remind myself to keep it freaking simple because, you know, I'll eat myself up and it's terrible. All right. I wanted to read this. Where's my flashlight? My freaking kid. Oh, here it is. My freaking kids take all my shit. I'm reliving my life. I'm reliving what I did to my father now with my kids doing it to me. But so on page 44, this is as Bill sees it. And it's, I may have read this before, but it's really good. Daily acceptance. Too much of my life has been spent in dwelling upon the faults of others. This is a must, subtle and perverse form of self-satisfaction, which permits us to remain comfortably unaware of our own defects. Too often, we are heard to say, "If it weren't for him or her, how happy I'd be," right? Our very first problem is to accept our present circumstances as they are, ourselves as we are, and the people about us as they are. This is to adopt a realistic humility without which no genuine advance can even begin. Again and again, we shall need to return to that unflattering point of departure. This is an exercise in acceptance that we can profitably practice every day in our lives, provided we strenuously avoid turning these realistic surveys of the facts of life into unrealistic alibis for apathy and defeatism. That's kind of what happened to me. They can be the sure foundation upon which increased emotional health and therefore spiritual progress can be built. Yep. They wrote about it, right? Daily acceptance. And that's, you know, the funny thing about recovery is, man, we're never free. It's never over. And the work is never complete, right? Because like I said, and I've shared before, you know, I got a lot of time. You know, I've been doing this a long time. And for the last couple of weeks, I've been irritable and discontent. And my question really is then when situations, you know, like for instance, an example, like something that's been bothering me is that there's a guy that, and I love, you know, I love this guy, but he wants to have a commitment in his life, right? He's like, at this point in my recovery, I need to make sure I always have a commitment. Well, unfortunately, though, the commitment that he has is it's the same commitment that he keeps it. He's had this commitment for 4 years. He just said it the other night, I keep this commitment, so I have a commitment. We're not supposed to do that. We should, you know, put out a list, have people sign up. I mean, really, there's sort of been a change even since the pandemic. When I was, you know, prior to the pandemic, when I was going to a lot of meetings, every year, usually at the beginning of the year, we put out a sheet, you know, for every month, someone sign up, you take the commitment, we had a coffee commitment, we had 12 basically leaders of the meeting for the year, and we had 12 different people making coffee, and we could have 12 greeters, right? It was always an opportunity. And when someone sort of hijacks the meeting, right, it bugs me, right? And it shouldn't. That's what I need to work on. How can I not let that bug me? I guess, to be honest, what I should do is have an honest conversation with him, right? But at the same time, I'm afraid that I'm going to say the wrong thing, or the look on my face is going to be rough or something, and it's going to come out weird. And I just don't want any, you know, I don't want to upset him, right? I know, listen, he's a good guy. He's got a lot of time, right? He's one of my best friends. We have another meeting we go to on Friday. You know, it's sort of the same thing. We're, you know, so what happens is, and you know, it's hard enough when you take a commitment on for a month to find different speakers. You know, when you take a commitment, the idea is that you find four different people to speak on that, whatever night it is, four times or five times in the month. And you bring in fresh blood, a fresh message, right? People sharing their stories. But when you don't, right? And I live in a small town. I mean, I live in a freaking little town. And so when you don't, we end up hearing the same message, and it becomes the same people saying the same things. And then when people aren't as far along, you know, and we don't have all those great stories, you know, we can start to be judgmental of other people, right? And so it just becomes a little out of sorts. And so it's really important that new people come and take the commitment and bring in speakers, right? And so what happens is you just basically people, like when we went to the meeting on Monday, my buddy, you know, I was talking to Jimmy and he's like, I'll meet you at the meeting. I go, great. Of course, as soon as he walked in, my friend who runs the meeting grabbed him, you know, can you speak tonight? Which was great because I think it was great because my buddy has a great message. And even my friend said, even Jimmy said that it was great because, you know, God gives us what we need when we need it, right? And so I think it was great for him. It worked out, but a lot of times it doesn't, right? And so we sort of get into this cycle of the regulars that come in that have to sit up front and share. And it's just, listen, all the parts are working, the gears are turning, but it's the content, right? And it just gets a little stale. And it's happening at a couple meetings. And so do I just step back and say, hey, no problem, none of my business, right? Or have a conversation. Probably a conversation would be best, I guess. But these are the things that have been freaking torturing me for the last week, and I need to just get over it. And so that's what I'm going to do. Starting right now, I'm over it. And so this is the new me. let me see. Let me do a reading. Do a little reading, and then I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go chill out. Let's see. Except July 31st. Let me see how much time we have here. Time. Yeah, we got time. All right, so July 31st, a prayer for all seasons. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Right, 12 steps, 12. That's my favorite prayer. That's the serenity prayer. That is, you know, without taking an off-ramp into crazy town, but that to me is what we should all be trying to achieve, right? And I'm not telling people what to do, but if we work these steps, if we get to this place, we become that, you know. God, grant us the serenity to accept with acceptance the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom, right, to know the difference. There, that's a lot. And if you can find that place, man, it's pretty good. All right, it's 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 125. The power of this prayer is overwhelmingly... No, wait a minute. The power of this prayer is overwhelming in that its simple beauty parallels the AA fellowship. There are times when I get stuck while reciting it, but if I examine the section which is troubling me, I find the answer to my problem. The first time this happened, I was scared, but now I use it as a valuable tool. By accepting life as it is, I gain serenity. By taking action, I gain courage, and thank God for the ability to distinguish between those situations I can work on and those I must turn over. All that I have now is a gift from God. My life, my usefulness, my contentment, and this program, the serenity enables me to continue walking forward. Alcoholics Anonymous is the easier, softer way. And that's so true. So maybe I needed to read the serenity prayer, right? Because God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Some things I cannot change. And I think maybe that's been my problem. I feel like I should be able to, and it's not my business to. Right? And so I need to remember that. Because it's funny, I haven't been feeling serenity, right? I have not been holding the hand of God. I've been up in my head. I've been fixing the world. I think also this election shit is fucking driving me crazy. I think more and more it's the election stuff. I've really had to take a step back. I'm losing my shit over this. I'm not losing my shit, but I'm just like scratching my head going, what is going on? But, and I can't change that, right? The courage to change the things I can. And so what would that be? You know, building up the courage to talk to my friend about maybe creating a sign-up list for other people to take that. I don't know. I don't have that courage yet. Yeah. And the wisdom to know the difference. Yeah. I don't know. All right. Well, listen, I'm working it out. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me share. I will I'll keep trying. And hope everyone's doing well. And we'll talk later. Bye. Going down, down, down. That he didn't already have. And cause never was the reason for the evening or the traffic of circus.